entered access code 648568.
Amen. Bible study, God is Life by Ray C. Stedman. He goes into a lot of his personal life in this and different circumstances, and so we'll be going down that road. If you want to skip some of that, you can. If not, then we'll continue. It says God is Life, and I hope this is the first of it. Let's see here. Okay. We are continuing our studies. Is that it?
We are studying the great letter.
Okay.
Did I do the wrong one?
Yeah, the great letter from the hand of the Apostle John.
Yeah.
John the Mender. Okay. The man who was called to follow Christ as a teenager when he was mending his nets. Okay. That act became symbolic of the ministry of this man, the one who mends things, who calls us back to fundamental matters. As we saw in the last message, John began by presenting to us a life which appeared in history, in the form of a person who was touched and seen and heard and handled. He was, therefore, no mere figment of the imagination. He was not an invented person, a composite of the longings and desires of men projected by their wishful thinking upon a being who never really lived. He is a man who lived and walked among us. John said, we touched him, we saw him, we heard him, we handled him. The great and exciting message he had to declare to us in that there is a way to share this wonderful life today. Amen, that's good. Now, I have a question of mending nets. Mending nets. Okay. Mending nets. And it says that it was symbolic of the life that John was going to do in his ministry. Does anybody have anything about that mending nets, how that's symbolic in John's life? Also symbolic in our lives.
Well, to me, mending that net is, what's the wrong word? Mending net. It's a person who fixes broken things because the way that you would mend the net is almost like crocheting or knitting, or more like crocheting, I think. And mending things, and we try to, with the Word of God and with Him teaching us, that's what we try to do to people's lives, is fix what's broken.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Through us. He does it. He helps people through us.
Through us,
because
yes.
He's in us.
With the help of God, it's done.
Yeah, so what He does is through us, He helps, or should I say, uses us to mend people's lives back to the original state and fellowship with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that now was broken when Adam sinned.
Yeah.
And God has been, through generations, he prophesied about those nets being mended back together. It was broken. And so, remember, he said he'll be fishers of men.
Man.
Also. So, a And he's using us as well to mend, to be able to mend people's lives back together, broken relationship, broken vessels as well. A lot of vessels, people are broken today. And so he, through his spirit, he helps us mend someone else's life back together. Okay. So where are we at now? Could you read, Mom, please?
Okay. The great and exciting message he has to declare to us is that there is a way to share this wonderful life today.
Yes.
There is a way that you can have this person, and he can have you, and the two of you can live together. When you do, John says, you will experience two wonderful things. The first is fellowship. The experience of having everything in common with all that means in view of the one with whom you are sharing life, one who is God himself dwelling in you. This in turn will result in joy. The secret, quiet excitement within that is not subject to circumstances, but burns like a steady flame, keeping life interesting. Free from boredom, lending richness and color to every experience you go through. These are not just hopeful words. These are real facts.
Amen. But, so, well, you can stop there because that's a lot said. That's a lot said there. It said it's not within that is not subject to circumstances. So you in a difficult circumstance, he's telling you that it doesn't change.
Yeah, it says that it burns like a steady flame, keeping life interesting.
So why would we change in the circumstance while he's steady as a flame?
And also, how can we get bored?
Yeah.
Does lending richness and color to every experience you go through.
Richness and what? Color.
Color to every experience you go through.
Okay. Huh?
These are not just hopeful words. These are real facts. This is what John says he is writing to us about. All this will occur as we come to know this living Lord. Now, going on, he says that this life was also a message. Jesus said, and is yet saying to the world, a very badly needed thing, his life is a message. We know how a man's life can become a single message. The life of Adolf Hitler, for instance, has become a message to the world, a message which all have read, how pride pursued to the full open the door to demonic powers and terrible, frightening things can follow. In contrast to that, I have just read the life of that amazing American, George Washington Carver, the dedicated Negro scientist who, though born into slavery, became one of the greatest scientists this nation has ever produced, and whose discoveries have blessed the whole world. What is the message of his life? It is the true humility is the open door to learning. If you are humble enough, there is nothing you cannot learn. It is exactly the opposite of the message of Adolf Hitler.
So how do a person learn?
By humbling yourself.
Yes.
You're
humble.
By humbling yourself.
Yes.
You're
humble.
Yes.
Because if you humble yourself, then you'll stop believing you can't do it.
And you're teachable.
And you're teachable. That's what humble means.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You're teachable. That's why God says humble yourself before him and he will lift you up.
Yeah. So when we're not humble, God can teach us like he wants to.
Because pride is getting in the way.
Pride is in self. Pride self is getting in the way. So when you're in a circumstance and you have your hand in it, is that a form of pride?
Yes. You mean when you think that you can do it on your own?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, that is. Yeah.
So when you have your hand in it and you think you can have it yourself, that's a form of pride. And then it says here that with that pride, you can't learn because you don't have any humility. So humility is when you say, Lord, whatever you want me to learn in this circumstance that I'm in, help me to humble myself and to listen to your voice.
Yes. Well, it's the way that Nisi does it, too. Like, when she says that they bring a task for her to do, and she doesn't know the first thing about achieving it. And the first thing she does is she humbles herself and says, Father, help me. Teach
yes.
me.
That's
yes. the first thing yes. she says she does is she humbles
yes.
herself. She doesn't
mm-hmm.
say, well, I'm going to see what I can do. She doesn't wait until after she has done it. And she says, Father, help me. So
mm-hmm.
she humbles herself right in the beginning and say, help me. I can't do this. But through you, I know I can do it, so help me.
So when we're praying and we're voicing that to God,
we're humbling ourselves too when we pray.
And he's in us.
Yeah.
And so are we reaching for the strength without, or are we reaching for the strength that's in?
The strength that is within. The power that is within.
Because he's in us.
It says that the power that's in me is stronger than the power that is in the world.
Yes.
So I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a question. So, the power is in us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I guess my question is, if the power is in us, should we already be able to do we have to ask the Lord to help us if the power is already in us?
I think
yeah,
so, because remember, he says that he knows what we need before we ask, but he still
yes.
wants us to ask.
Yes.
So I would put that in the same category. He wants the fellowship.
It's an invoking of the power then.
When Jesus said, greater works that ye shall do, did he say, ask me first?
No, he didn't.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. There you go.
He didn't say, ask me first, and then you can do it.
No.
Well, then
He said, just do it in my name.
Yeah, by the power of Jesus.
Well, we can say by the power of Jesus, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this.
Now, watch this. Look what you just said. You didn't say by your power. You said by the power of Jesus.
Yeah.
So of what you said.
Not of your own strength, but of his.
Yeah. And having an acknowledgement that he's the one that's doing it through you.
Yes.
Through Christ, I can do all things.
That's right.
Through him, not you.
It's an acknowledgement that he is the one that's doing it.
So what we should say by the strength that, or by the strength, or by the power of the Lord, I'm going to do this, or the power that within me is going to enable me to do this. I guess you can word it in any way.
Lord, by your power.
Lord,
by your power, Lord, by your strength.
And by your grace, we can do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. grace, because your grace is sufficient.
Now, watch this. Don't we say this? We say, God, I need you to be with me on this one.
If you're in,
he's not going to be there. He's already there. But we say, Lord, I need you to be with me. I'm already with you.
Well, what I had been saying lately, and I thought I was being kind of curt, so I was kind of checking myself, because I had started saying, Father, let's do this.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, Father, let's do this.
I do that all the time.
So, and I was saying, am I being too curt or what?
Or personal?
No, being curt.
No.
Father, let's do this.
Being disrespectful.
Lord, if it's your will.
When you do that, that's when you're humbling yourself. That's what I was saying because you can. I didn't want to want to God to feel that I was being too confident in what of the power that I had in me.
God knows your heart.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. He knows
that you're not thinking in that way.
Yeah.
Because he knows your heart.
That's true.
But he told us we could be confident.
He did.
Yes.
And we know that we can. He said through him all things are possible. Why can't we be confident?
That's true.
I'm not saying not to be confident. You can be confident, but what I'm saying is that through that confidence, we always want to know if it's his will.
But it has to be his will, because he said we can do all things. So
that was a question.
That depends on the situation and the circumstance, I guess. I think Mom was thinking more of things that, like, okay, I'll use some for example with myself, where I've used that. Just like with reprogramming my garage door opener, I didn't know what a thing was. I didn't know. I read it. It did not make any sense to me at all. I looked it over. I unscrewed everything. I followed the direction because Mom said, if you can read, you should be able to do it. And I can't read, and I have comprehension, but it just wasn't adding up. I wasn't seeing from the diagram what they said I should see and all of
that. No, but you already missed.
Right.
When you say that you can't do something,
right,
you just got there saying you can do all things through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just got there saying that when you read, you can't comprehend.
No. I did not say. I said I can. I said I can read and I have comprehension. That's what I said.
Okay.
But even though I have those abilities, it still wasn't making sense to me. So I said, okay, God, it's me and you. You said through you all things possible. So I need you to give me the knowledge to do this.
Well, that's humility. That's humility.
But see, that's what I'm saying.
But I'm still confident.
When I, for instance, when I was putting in the ads in different places that. And when I would get ready to call a radio station or something like that, I said, okay, God, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think what it was is that I was getting rid of the fear, getting rid of the hesitation, getting rid of the doubt, because I can see that light, see that coming in.
So yes.
Okay, God, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in a way, I knew where the spirit was going to come from,
right.
But I was trying to remove myself out of the equation because myself was coming in. And so I said, okay, Let's do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he knows your heart. He knows your heart. So,
yeah.
And he knows that you wasn't trying to be disrespectful in that way or not showing humility.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know all things flow through him. He's what? He's above us, he's through us all, right? And he's in us all. So he flows through us and he's in us. So all those things that we have to do about helping someone, building his kingdom, uniting people together, that's him anyway doing it.
Yeah.
And so, because he lives in us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, a lot of things, your ideas that comes in your head, you know, let me call this radio station. Because what? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
That's right.
Christ because what? How he gets his glory is when he can move through you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's how he, when you humble yourself and you listen to his voice, he can guide you and lead you by his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he gets his glory.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, all things flow through him anyway. Just like Tawana was saying, well, I'm not a lyricist. I can't really write songs or different words. Or just, you ain't doing it anyway.
Exactly.
He is co-creating with you.
Yes.
How many times the Word of God tells us that our spirit is one with his?
Yes.
Like this scripture here, it says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
That's right. No darkness at all.
So if we're in him, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. That's right.
We are children of who? We are children of light.
Of light, yes.
So if you really look at this, God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all.
Yes.
If I'm in God, look, Jesus said, that, what, I'm in my Father,
my
Father's in me,
and I
in you, and you are in me.
That's right.
Yes. So we're all in the Father, are we darkness?
No, we're light.
We're light.
So that scripture says about what does light have to do with darkness? What does that mean?
Well, light has a lot to do with darkness. Because the Spirit of God, was the Spirit of God moving in the light or was it moving in the darkness?
Well,
if you
don't define the darkness,
I'm
sorry, go ahead, Mom.
Where does the light shine? The light
shines in the darkness.
Oh, thank you.
It said the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never put it out.
There it is. My question is, when the sun goes down, it gets dark.
But the sun doesn't go down. The earth revolves.
When the sun sets.
Shining all the time.
In our lives, and rises in somebody else's life, should I say, and we don't see it anymore, does it get dark?
Let's say that again.
Does it get dark?
Oh, well, we don't see the sun? Yeah, it gets dark.
It gets dark. Mm-hmm. So we live in a dark world. Everything is dark. Hello.
But my question was, what the scripture says, what has light to do with darkness? Let me find that.
What fellowship?
Yeah, what fellowship?
It's what fellowship? What is he saying? If you, what he was saying in that scripture, he was talking about either worship.
He's not saying
You talk about idol worship.
So,
that's
oh.
the darkness they were talking about. Serving idols. Serving idols.
So it's not unevenly yoked with unbelievers?
He was talking about.
So what worship of righteousness have to do with unrighteousness?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, the Bible says there was only one righteous, that was Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. And he's asking a question. He's not making a statement.
He's not making. So what we have to start understanding is God, this world is darkness. It's dark. The God moved on the face of the deep, and it was dark. So when the light came on, right, there was light. And so the light shined in our lives, didn't it? Spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the sun is rising, do you see the whole sun at all at once? You don't, do you?
Yeah. But I think
it rises slowly. And that's, and see, when he appears, oh my goodness, look at that. When he appears fully, we will see him because we'll be like him. Right now, do we really see the sun fully?
No, but if you read this next paragraph,
mm-hmm.
It said that is the glory of, not the one where it says, the paragraph that says, and the light shineth, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness
yeah.
comprehended it not.
Mm-hmm.
If you read that next paragraph, I think it explains the question.
Okay, let me see here. Okay, God, this life.
That is the glory of this life.
Go ahead and read it.
That is the glory of this life. Our Lord himself said, I am the light of the world, and if any man follow me, he shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's John 8:12. Then said Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There it is again, a life that is light. Again, he says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness, and will not come to the light because their deeds are evil. John 3:19.
Mm-hmm. So
and
who was Jesus speaking to when he said that?
The Pharisees, the people?
Mm-hmm. The Pharisees.
And then it says, what exactly does this message mean? God is light. Obviously, the Apostle Paul expects us to think about this a bit, where he says, this is the meaning of all that Jesus came to do and to be. It is imperative that we understand this, where this is the meaning of the life of Jesus, whether it is his life lived in history or the life he will live in us right now. It will all come out here. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Could you read that about in again?
It is imperative.
Uh-huh.
That one? It is imperative that we understand this. For this is the meaning of light, of the life of Jesus. Whether it is his life lived in history or the life he will live in us right now.
The life that he will live in us right now. The life is light.
The light is light, yes.
Okay.
The life is
so
light.
So the life that he lives in us. Okay. In us is the light of
the light.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
because he, his light was the light of men. Now, we have to understand, and he says this, that light is every man that cometh into the world.
What?
That's the end of that scripture. That light is every man that cometh into the world. What is that talking about? Is that every human being that's born that he gives that life to?
Where is the scripture that says that?
Oh, let's go to 1 John. Let's go to John, the first chapter.
John, first chapter?
Yeah, John, the first chapter.
And it's really something because John 1, it's actually quoting Genesis 1:1.
So here it is. All right. In the beginning was the word. All right.
Starting in 4, I think. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light.
Okay.
Okay, Dan, I have a question. Now, in this ninth verse says
that was the true light. Ninth verse says, let's go to 8. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light.
Yeah.
That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
Okay, then I had a question. Now, this letter that was written by John, it starts out, so how is it that the first four verses refer back to Genesis 1 and then ties into John?
Well, look at it. He wants you, let's go to Malachi. Malachi talks about the sun rising, will rise with healing in his wings. And they said the sun is S-U-N, right? Because the sun that was going to rise was Jesus Christ.
No, but my question was about John 1 on the first four verses. How does that tie in with the rest of it, with the rest of the same chapter?
In the beginning was the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Well, first Genesis, it doesn't say that. They don't say that in the first Genesis, first chapter.
In the beginning,
God created the heavens and earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, watch this now, I want to, he said, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning was the first day. And so right there he called the darkness what?
Night.
Night. Did he call darkness evil? Did he call darkness evil?
Yeah.
So did he call darkness good? He said everything God created, he saw. Everything that he created.
Yeah. It was good.
And it was good.
again, because what I see here, it was darkness there already.
It didn't say
that he created it. He created darkness. It was already there.
When they speak of the darkness and the light, and they're talking about, they said, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Well,
right.
People had not come into the world yet. But this darkness that he's talking about is the evilness of man.
But I think in the Bible, the darkness is referring to different things.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Different things.
Well,
yeah, it's referring to sinners. It's referring to evil. It's referring to disobedience. It's referring to unrighteousness. It's referring to different things.
Thank you. I'm glad you're referring to those things because we are darkness. All right? And he shined in us.
But we are not dark anymore because
exactly.
Light is dwelling in us. So, no, we're not dark anymore.
And it's nothing that you earn.
Right.
You never earned your light.
No.
You never earned your light.
But
it's a gift. It's a gift that he's given us. Mm-hmm.
Right. It was Christ dying on the cross, which became light, and which gives us light.
His life.
Yeah.
Right. His life.
We're shining his.
Go ahead, Mom.
We're shining his light through our life.
He's shining his light through our life.
Okay. Same thing.
Okay, so when we were born into the world, we were considered darkness.
Yeah, he was. Mm-hmm.
And when we accepted Christ as our Lord and personal Savior,
sometimes, you know, you're going to see it in this lesson. Light sometimes is an awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Something that you don't know, because when light shines, you can see things.
Mm-hmm.
If things are revealed to you, okay,
mm-hmm.
when it was dark. And we're going to get into that.
Right, okay. So in other words,
sometimes you may go through your house and your house is dark. And something may be on the floor. You can't see it. And you hit it, or bump your toe on it. What do you do? Then you cut the light on and go, man, I didn't know that was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Jesus explains it in John 8:12.
Mm-hmm.
He says that I am the light of the world, and he that follows me
shall
never walk in darkness,
but shall have the light of life.
It said, well, how?
Yes, we'll have the light of life. So that's what Nisa is saying. Once we follow Jesus, that's when we get the light of life.
Yes. Or the light of life is revealed to you. Remember, part of the new covenant is that the thing that people really don't understand is how did Christ get in you? How did he get in you?
He entered in.
He did it.
No, we received him.
You received him. So how did the word get in you?
We take the word in.
He is the word.
He said, our right. That's the part of the new covenant. Our right, my laws on their minds and in their hearts. And you won't even have to tell your mother to know me. Yep. If they could all will know me.
Yeah.
Well, he said that, and that's a part of the mystery. A part of the mystery is, which is the riches of this great mystery, what Paul said is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Wait, you know, I think I'm getting an epiphany or whatever you call that.
Yeah.
Well, the light is coming.
For when he says, oh my goodness, okay.
Oh, come on.
It's at, okay. When he comes into your life,
mm-hmm.
and when he writes his words upon your heart,
yes.
and he takes away that darkness, he says you're not going to have to tell people about it because they're going to see it. They're going to see it by the life you lead.
That you walk.
That's how they're going to know that I'm there. Right?
See, yes. Now,
that's what
my whole thing is this. It's cases in the Bible that God knew these men already before he chose them to do. He already chose them from birth.
Mm-hmm.
He already had planned it out already, okay, to do something for him already. He's already planned it out. And how is it that they went back to their ancestor, and what was written? He said that, watch this, he said that Isaac paid tithes to. He paid tithes to, who was that? The king of Salem. Melchizedek, when he was in the loins.
Loins, yes.
Of Abraham.
Yes.
So what people do is, you first of all, you can't limit God's ability by your intellect. Because a lot of times it puts him in a box.
Yes.
Because there's some people that God knew already before they came into their mother's womb.
That's right. Yeah.
That they were going to do what he wanted them to do. But what we do, and can see a lot of times, we always think it's the time when we accept him. If he already knew you before he formed you, he already had a purpose for your life before you even knew it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Jesus said, he said, no one can come unto me unless the Spirit of my Father draw him.
That's right.
So my whole thing is, it's he said, now when God puts his word out, he said, it's going to achieve and do everything that I sent it out to do. Now, if we came from him, oh, hallelujah, when he sent us out, we are going to accomplish everything he wants us to do. And sometimes, if you're 80 years old, if you're 70, if you're 50, if you're 100, if you're 99, and God's saying that you will have a baby, you're going to have a baby.
God can't consider.
Oh, man. So we can't limit God by our own understanding or intellect, because he's spirit.
Yes.
So, how do we, or do we, I'll ask this, or do we interfere with the will of God?
Well, have anybody interfered Well, you can do it your way if you want to.
So what?
But you always come to that conclusion. See, God will all the time make you come to a conclusion. God, it's your will.
That's true. That's true.
It's your will. And if, guess what? And if you die, you don't raise back up anyway. And then when you raise up, I'll come back. So we have to understand that there's a lot of things that God does that we're not even aware of.
Oh, well, I know.
God allows us, and see, he does stuff in his timing, not ours.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is that we may think that we stopped God from
the plan of God in our lives,
doing something in our lives by whatever road we chose to take or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But what could have been happening or what's happening during that time is the learning and the preparation.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think I'm asking a question.
Jesus said this. He said, Father, I thank you that you have given me these men.
Mm-hmm.
So, first of all, they were gods in the first place.
Yeah.
And then he gave them the Christ to have stewardship over those men.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And he said, no one can pluck them out of your hand.
Yeah.
No matter of the trials that they went through, no matter how many times they got beat, how many times they got thrown in jail, they were still in his hand. A lot of times, when peril comes in our lives, we doubt that we're still in his hand.
Yeah.
You know, because now that I think about it, is there anything in Scripture saying that we can interfere with the will of God?
Remember, his will cannot be turned.
That's what I'm saying. Is there anything
in
Scripture, or is this something that we have been told that has been implanted and embedded
It's not scriptural. Because, and the reason why I say that, it's because Pharaoh knew God. And God said, God told Moses, I'm going to use Pharaoh so he can show forth my works. We show for my great works. God will use a person. Oh, hallelujah!
Mm-hmm.
That will do harm to you. That God, that a heart and heart towards you, that God is using to show you His great works.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
This is so powerful. You know, it's just, oh, my goodness. We have to unlearn so much.
Mm-hmm.
You have to allow him to teach you.
Yeah.
No matter what I go through, I'm still in his hand.
Yeah.
Remember, he said, persecution, you will have it always.
Yeah.
The Bible says that Jesus, he was what? Jesus, he was familiar with grief.
Yeah. Familiar.
Acquainted with grief.
Yeah, acquainted with grief.
And he was a son of the living God.
And God said that it pleased him to bruise him.
Right. Because his life was the life of men.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Uh-huh. His life gave us life, which is life. So if the corner we fall, it abides alone. But if this die, it brings forth what? Much fruit. That corner we have to die, talking about himself. And we are the fruit which he produced.
And he says, and if we don't, and if we don't bear fruit, then he's going to pluck us out.
Well,
what is that?
Those that don't.
Yeah, those that don't.
Uh-huh.
Now,
but those that already have fruit, you're going to do what? Prune.
Yes, he's going to prune.
That they were being forced